Yeah, hi. I called earlier and spoke with someone different. A guy, is he there? I don't know what his name is.
What was your name?
My name is Adam. I had actually called to make an appointment either on the phone or in person with Senator Morlock, and he said that the senator was too busy. So I just wanted to make sure that that's the case because I thought the guy was supposed to be representing us.
Very busy with committee and, floor session right now. Were you calling in regards to a specific bill or?
Well, yeah, it's Assembly Bill 678, and it was in 2001. And I think it's highly, highly, highly unconstitutional and unlawful for them to even pass it. And actually, what I had done is I tried to file a petition for redress of grievance pursuant to the California Constitution with Assemblywoman Cottie Petrie Norris. And she has refused to reply to any of the letters I've mailed and communication that I've had with her office via email. So I'm reaching out to Senator Morlock because I'm in his district and I want something to be done.
Okay. I would say give our Capitol office a call and see and communicate this with them and see if they have any recommendations on how to move forward with this request.
Okay. What is the phone number for the Capitol office, please?
Uh-huh. 4037.
Okay, is there someone I should speak to there?
Right now there's kind of a limited capacity of staff members that could be in at once, so I'm not too sure who's in at this moment, but I would imagine anyone up there could help you.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you. And what was your name?
Alexa.
Alexa, thank you so much.
We can't help, but this is definitely more their forte, since they're primarily the legislative office and we're more district office. So I think that for this specific request, they might be able to provide you with more insight.
Okay. You're so kind. Thank you for your help, Alexa. Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Senator Morlock's office?
Which office?
Morlock.
Oh. Oh, okay. The district office in Costa Mesa gave me your phone number.
Okay.
I was trying to reach Senator Morlock because I live in his district. I'm calling about what I feel to be a very unconstitutional assembly bill that had been passed. And I had filed a petition for redress of grievance with the legislature pursuant to the California Constitution. And I did that through Assemblywoman Cottie Petrie Norris's office. And
is she the author of the bill?
No, she's not.
Okay.
It was back in 2001, and I filed the petition for redress with her back in like February, and she's not replying to any of my email or letter correspondence.
Have you tried calling her office?
Yes.
Are you a constituent of hers?
Yes.
Okay. And are you a constituent of Senator Morlock as well?
I believe so. Yes, I'm in the 37th district. I live in Costa Mesa.
Okay. So, what are you asking our office to do?
I would like to find out the status of the petition that I filed, and I would like to speak with Senator Morlock about something being done about this, because it's very illegal. People are being forced into bankruptcy by these outrageous fines, and the courts are not even recognizing it.
What's the bill number?
It's Assembly Bill 678. It was passed in 2001, and it's otherwise known as Business and Professions Code 7031, subsection B. My name is Adam, and last name Berkey, B-E-R-E-K-I. E-K-I. Thank you.
Hi, this is Lance. I'm going to help you.
What was your name? Lance?
Oh, Lance, yeah.
Hi, I'm Adam. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I'm not sure why I was transferred to you. Maybe could you share what your function is within Senator Morlock's office?
I am the Senator's chief of staff.
Oh, okay. So the reason I'm calling Lance is because I was fined almost $1 million pursuant to Assembly Bill 678, and it was approved 678, and it was happened in 2001. It's business.
So what did this bill do?
I'm sorry?
What did the bill do?
The bill said that if you are found to be an unlicensed contractor, you have to refund all of the money that was paid to you. So basically, let's say that you hire me to build you a $20 million house in Newport Beach. So I build the house, you pay me $20 million. I build you the $20 million house, and then you find out that I'm an unlicensed contractor. So you sue me, and under this bill, I have to give you the $20 million back, and you get to keep the house.
Okay.
That's fucking insanity, putting it bluntly.
And did you hire a lawyer to deal with this?
Yes.
And what happened?
They fined me. Well, in my case, it was building a $1 million house, and I got fined almost $1 million. And it doesn't seem that the courts in California do not recognize that this is a fine. I'm not joking you. They don't. They call it something called disgorgement, and it's not disgorgement. I'm not sure if you have a legal background, but if you do, we can talk more about it in that.
No, I deal enough with the law that I have an idea what you're talking about.
Okay. So basically, here's the U.S. Supreme Court just came down with a case. They entered the case in June 22nd of this year. And what's been going on is courts have been abusing this notion called disgorgement. Disgorgement basically means that if you perform an illegal act, you don't get to keep the profits of that act. That's fine. I get that. Like a bank robber, if he steals $20,000, he doesn't keep the profits of the $20,000. He has to give it back. It's called restitution. So what the courts are doing in these cases is they're reading the statute, which says you have to give a refund of all compensation you were paid, and they're turning the word compensation into mean a full forfeiture of all of the transactional money that was exchanged, and they're not using an offset for the benefits that were conferred. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the problem. And I have the legislative history, and if you read it, that's what the legislature intended. The problem is the courts are supposed to step in and say, hey, wait a minute, you can't do this because it's an excessive fine. And they're not. And this has been going on since at least 2001, but the 7031 statute goes all the way back to 1929. When the A section was instituted.
Okay, so what are you looking for from us?
Well, I called because I had filed a petition for redress of grievance according to the California Constitution with Assemblywoman Cottie Petrie Norris. I spoke to one of her representatives, Jess Wang, and Jess had me.
Why did you file with her?
I didn't know where else to file it. She's my, I'm her, no, I don't think that a petition like that gets filed in the court. I mean, maybe it does, but. I would have no idea why it would go to a court.
We're the legislative branch. We don't let you get anything.
Well, but I'm. Okay, so I don't have the 1879 Constitution in front of me. I will get it in one sec, but I'm going to read you the 1849 Constitution because that's never been repealed. Here's what it says. The people shall have the right to freely assemble together to consult for the common good, to instruct the representatives, and to petition the legislature for redress of grievances. I will pull up the 1879 Constitution in a minute. But however, the courts are part of the problem. So I'm petitioning the legislature. And I don't know why I would go to the court when they're part of the problem. I mean, the legislature is too, but.
I don't disagree. And you're not the first person that's gone to the recall this, and I had trouble with the courts for various different reasons, not this specific reason, but different reasons. Once you file that petition, I guess, what's your expectation?
Well, my expectation was essentially that Cottie, being my, I'm a constituent in her area, that she would take that to the legislature and she would say, we have a grievance that's been filed against us and here's what the circumstances are pertaining to it. We need to do an investigation and find out if, in fact, this guy is a nut job or if what he's saying is, in fact, true and correct. And if it is, then we need to take immediate action because we're literally destroying people's lives and sending them to bankruptcy without constitutional authority. And we're opening ourselves up to severe liability for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, you're welcome to send it to us. I don't know exactly who we would petition to because how the process works in Sacramento is there's a series of legislative committees that cover different issues. Your issue would probably be within the Senate has a business and professions code and a committee they work through. I think that covers most of the contractor licensing type issues. I could give it to a consultant there for them to look at, and they could likely pass it on to the chair of the committee. But beyond that, unless they had time to schedule a complete hearing for your one issue, I don't know exactly what they would do except for suggest maybe further clarifying legislation in a future legislative.
Well, that's not what this constitutional right to a petition is. It's not a.
I get it. You can write the petition to your legislature, but it doesn't say what the legislature has to do about it, does it?
I don't believe so. But I mean, wouldn't the right involve a remedy of them doing something?
Well, but that's what I'm asking. What do you suppose your remedy is, though?
Well, for them to.
What I'm trying to get at is, I'm not opposed to seeing your petition. I'm not opposed to hearing the grievance out. I'll explain though right now, because of the pandemic, we have other bills that we're trying to fix some very substantive issues. Last year, out of the 20 bills we have, we had to drop 17 of them. And we've only been able to get a couple very technical fixes with. They've eliminated most of the legislative hearings. They've eliminated all of the audit and oversight hearings that have to do with these kinds of complaints. And we won't probably have another legislative hearing that's in the normal sort of like function of oversight and trying to do it, you know, issues perhaps as yours until next January. So, again, I'm happy to receive it. I'm happy to look at and review it. And I'm happy to share with other people that might have some better insight about what to do with it. But I don't know what the remedy you would expect.
Well,
sending it to me. And I'm not trying to be flippant here. I'm really interested in it. It sounds like a case that's pretty significant and probably needs to be clarified in law. I don't know exactly, though, because we're not a judicial, part of the judicial branch, what remedy we could grant to you.
Yeah, no, I totally appreciate you not being flippant and just like being no bullshit with me. I totally appreciate that. The remedy that I'm looking for obviously is if I have the right to file a petition, that right, the remedy would be that the legislature investigates the grievance. As I said before, do they say, hey, is this a guy, a nut job who doesn't know the law and doesn't know what he's talking about? Or have we made a serious error and we're really harming people by doing this and we don't have authority to do it? And so if there is no authority, lawful authority for the legislature to have passed this act, that remedy would mean immediately that they have to change it. And I don't think that that's a matter of whether they decide they want to have a hearing on it or not. It's a must. If their investigation concludes that what I'm saying is true, I mean, here's what happens. So someone like me, if you consider the comparable criminal penalty for the same offense, it's a maximum fine up to $5,000. All right. So someone that gets sued in the civil sense, like me, they end up with a near $1 million fine. And so you end up in bankruptcy. I know of one man who lost his home from this and he petitioned the legislature and they didn't do shit about it. So I'm a little bit different breed than that guy. I'm sinking my teeth into it, and I'm going to see that something's done about it. So that's why I keep pressing the issue and keep making phone calls and sending letters and trying to figure out what's going on. And believe me, I do appreciate the situation that you guys are in with the COVID-19 issue and all of that. And I don't know what you can do beyond what you can do. However, you know, there's a lien attached to property that I'm a trustee of because of this, and that property could be forced into bankruptcy at any time.
Is this a property that you built or managed or owned, or what happened to you?
Okay. So just, I'll try to give you the most simplest Reader's Digest version. I went and took the contractor state licensing exam, I think back in 2007, and to get a general contractor's license. And they made me what's called a qualifying individual for the license. I had the work experience and I passed the exam and background check. The name of the license was in my company, not in my name. So when I went to court with these clients of mine, they were just private clients that wanted a custom home remodeled. They alleged that they didn't actually contract with my company that was a licensed contractor. They contracted with me.
Are you a sole proprietor?
No. No. I was a close friend of this family, and my company did work for them for years. But the court said... Correct. All right. So even though I had passed all the requirements and had the experience and all of that and was the qualifying individual for my company's license, the court said, well, it looks to me like you are the one that contracted with them and not your company. So you owe them basically a forfeiture of all of the proceeds that they paid you, which turns out to be $930,000. So they got to keep all the remodel work. They got a full refund of the $848,000 that they paid for that. And then the court also ordered that my company, whoever it is, forfeit the $82,000 that they hadn't paid for work that was performed.
And so was your company implicated in this?
Not directly. I mean, they did sue my company, but they dropped that suit because the suit became solely against me for, so to speak, not having a license. So there's actually two issues here. One is, if you go down and you take the exam and you are determined to be competent to be a contractor, that's one issue, because this statute should not have any application to someone like that whatsoever. The only issue at that point is not a matter of public safety and the welfare of society. It's about whether you paid a fee or not, a licensing fee. So that's one issue. The second issue is that they're taking that issue and then saying, oh, even though you passed the exam and did all that, we're still not considering you a licensed contractor and you're subject to this full forfeiture without offsets for the benefits that you confer. So that means, like this guy, he got fined $916,000. He did the work. The company said, hey, he did a great job. He just didn't have a license. Well, he had a license. It was just in his company name and not in his personal name. Same issue. And so when you go to the courts and you say, wait a minute, I gave them their money back by doing the work and buying all the materials and all of that. Now, it's a different story, court, if they have damages. We need to have a hearing for damages if there's damages. But in this context, I gave them all the money back and bought all the materials. And so their property gained value by the amount of work that I did. And the court says, you know, we don't want to hear it. This is what the legislature said.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, you're more than welcome to send me information. I'm happy to review with, whoever is in the space. I don't know that beyond whatever remedies you sought to the court, the legislature is going to be able to offer.
Okay.
It's not like they can go back to the courts or the license board and say, hey, you need to change this. They don't react to the legislature unless it's a budgetary issue, mostly. I want to change the statute. But, you're more than welcome to send to me. I don't know what more we can do, what kind of remedy you'll be able to get.
Okay, so I sent all of this, including a thumb drive with all of the exhibits, to the district office in Costa Mesa. Would you be happy?
Yeah. District office.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I don't know if maybe you could call Alexa, is who I spoke with there. Maybe
yeah,
you could
talk to Alexa about it.
Tell her to send it up to you or something like that.
Sure.
That would be great. Yeah, and I mean, I don't know, Lance, as far as I'm concerned, I would expect something to be done about this, given, you know, if what I'm saying is true and it is unconstitutional and there's no authority for it, that should mean like people are jumping and taking care of it. Like something should be done about it. So I don't know. I mean, I'm giving it to you guys. And so you do with it what you do with it, but that's just my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll look at it, but when it comes down to it, we're a minority party in a Democratic state. We can ask for hearings and for, you know, some sort of action to be taken. Whether it happens or not isn't almost always out of our control. So
wait a minute. So Senator Morlock is a Republican. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay, I didn't know that. I don't get involved with state politics, but I think Cotty's a Democrat, right?
She is.
Okay, perfect. So I've gone to both sides of the aisle, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know. Connie's staff is relatively new and inexperienced, so I don't know what they'd be able to get you, but she's a Democrat, so she cries the loudest that you might be able to get further with her than with us. But it's not saying that I can't review and look at it. I just don't know exactly what kind of remedy we could offer you. So there's,
if I understand, and I'm just trying to understand how the whole process works because I don't have the experience that you do. If someone comes and presents evidence that there is a unconstitutional bill or an unconstitutional law.
90% of the bills they pass out of this building. I'm frankly, just about everything they pass out of this building is unconstitutional. I can't tell you how many bills, how many issues we deal with almost on a daily basis are unconstitutional. But in the end, unless a court finds it unconstitutional and requires some sort of remedy, there's literally nothing we can do about it. I mean, I could spend the next hour just the bills we passed last 6 months telling you how they're unconstitutional. Unless the majority party wants to move to do something special for a constituent, it's very. I can't think of somebody who's done something like this in this manner. I can think of is when somebody's released from prison unjustly. They were in prison unjustly, and there is a requirement for the state to pay, you know, for however many days or years they were in prison for all of that. A compensation. We do a bill like that every, you know, year, and it's a handful of cases. But almost, I would say pretty much all of them, I can't think of an exception, are those that were wrongfully imprisoned.
Okay. Well, here's kind of another aspect of that. And that is because of this unconstitutional law, my license has been suspended. I can't work.
No, I understand.
Oh, that's a major problem because essentially that's imprisonment in my book. If I don't have the liberty to use my faculties to sustain my life and have an employment in this capacity that I want to work in, that's a major problem.
Yeah, no, believe me, I 100% understand the problem. I'm happy to review and look at it and
okay.
See if there's anything I can offer you, but I'll tell you, unless a court is going to come in your favor and declare that there needs to be remedies, it's a very slim legislation doing anything at all.
Okay. Is there like some sort of policy that you're aware of or not aware of if there is a policy for handling redresses of grievance?
I've been in the building 15 years. Uh-huh. And I've never had to deal with this. So I've worked for various members of the legislature.
Okay.
I'm happy to ask other people who have been here longer, but I'm not aware of any specific process for, you know, handling or redressing these grievances outside of the judicial process.
Okay. Yeah, I read you section 10 of the 1849 Constitution. It's section 3 of the 1879 one I'm looking at.
I don't disagree with you, but when you look for redress, you know, the redress can come in different forms, and sometimes that redress is compensation. Sometimes that redress is changing the law. Sometimes that redress is, you know, reinstating certain licenses. But again, unless the legislature goes out and for one person rewrites the law or creates regulation, I'm not exactly sure how we could address that.
Oh, okay. So I mean, all of those,
it has to be completely legislative process. Not one penny gets spent in this building without it going through a legislative process.
Okay. So those
votes in both chambers.
Those
and the signature of the governor.
Those forms of redress that you just mentioned are all three that I'm seeking. I know you asked me that question earlier, but that's exactly what I'd like, is for the law to be changed, to be compensated for the injuries that have occurred as a result, and to have my license reinstated.
Okay.
So
that would be a full legislative process that would take probably 2 years to get done.
Okay. Okay. So I sent the thing to the district office in Costa Mesa. So if you would be so kind as to call Alexa and let her know, and then maybe she can keep an eye out for it. I just sent it today. So
I will look for it, and feel free to follow up with me in a little while and see what I've had a chance to review. And I'll tell you what I know.
Okay. Lance, thank you so much. Lance was your name, right? Okay, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you. Okay, buddy. Take care. Bye. That was a call to the Capitol Building, 916-651-4037 on August 17th, 2020.